There is a long history of troublesome Christians. This last week, three, including Father Peter Murnane, who's preached here at St. Matthew's, were at it again. They punctured a balloon covering intelligence gathering equipment at Waihopai in the South Island. They also punctured the illusion that New Zealanders are far removed from American wars. It is well attested that Waihopai information is fed to the American military. It's well attested that the American military invaded Iraq on spurious grounds. And it's well attested that the vast majority of casualties since that invasion have been Iraqi civilians. The preservation of all human life is fundamental to Christian belief. War and all that aids and abets war is anathema to our faith. War is murder, and Waihopai is complicit in it. The Waihopai Three are part of the international Christian network called Plowshares. The name comes from the biblical verses admonishing the people to turn their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. There are, of course, many people who, while sympathetic to condemnation of the Iraq occupation, disagree with the protesters about breaking the law and destroying public property. Plowshares, however, justify their actions in terms of the greater good. Do you worry, for example, about breaking down the front door of a house and illegally entering if there is a fire inside and children are trapped? Plowshares would say that war, like a fire, is raging out of control. Children and others are trapped, and we need to help. The Berrigan brothers and their friends formed Plowshares in 1980. Daniel and Philip Berrigan, however, were already known for their social action. Daniel was a Jesuit and Philip a Josephite priest. In 1968, during the Vietnam War, for example, they and seven others invaded the Selective Service Office in Catonsville, Maryland, pulled draft files out of their cabinets, piled them outside, and set them afire with homemade napalm. They went to prison for 3 years. Dan Berrigan wrote, "Our apologies, good friends, for the fracture of good order, the burning of paper instead of children. How many must die before our voices are heard? How many must be tortured, dislocated, starved, maddened? When, at what point, will you say no to war?" On September the 9th, 1980, Dan, Philip, and six others began the Plowshares movement. They illegally trespassed onto the General Electric nuclear missile facility at King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, where they damaged nuclear warhead nose cones and poured blood onto documents and files. They were arrested, charged, and imprisoned. The most well-known New Zealander involved in a Plowshares action is Moana Cole. In 1991, Moana was part of the Anzac Plowshares that entered Griffith Air Force Base in New Jersey, hammered on a B-52 bomber headed for Iraq, poured blood on it, said prayers, and started digging up the runway. They too were arrested and sent to jail. In 1994, Moana was involved in the first Plowshares action on New Zealand soil. Moana and Australian Karen O'Reilly entered Harwood Air Force Base in Christchurch on Hiroshima Day, where they poured blood, prayed, and were subsequently arrested and fined. Plowshares differ from other types of protest and that they are liturgies, intentionally sacramental. A sacrament is a window into God. It's an action that helps us see into the nature and meaning of the divine. The pouring of blood, sometimes the protesters' own blood. The hammering of weapons of war into implements of peace. The use of sickles. All these are symbolic, theatrical acts that point to a God who loves us all, who desires peace, and who is prepared politically to confront the powers that be to achieve it. The God of this liturgy is not a couch potato, but an activist intent on change. In many churches and their liturgies, there's the notion that God is always a human-shaped hug. When we walk beyond the notion of loving God forever kind, not only do our ideas about God change, but the language to connect with God also changes. The liturgy of protest makes us look afresh at God language. Often in my experience, no language can immediately help. For a while, sometimes quite a while, we walk our liturgy in silence and tears. Protest actions, of course, can easily be misconstrued. It's hard to have the perfect protest. Someone's idea of the sacred, whether it be private property, the law, or the church, will always be desecrated. Think of Jesus in cleansing the temple of money changers. He destroyed other people's property. He disrupted legitimate business, and he brought violence and upset into a holy place. Liturgies of protest will always be offensive to some, and especially those with the biggest investment in the political and religious status quo. There is something about political action that shapes us. In times of social upheaval, physical location is important. Are we marching on the streets or expressing our opposition to neighbors quietly over the back fence? Or watching it on television, or switching channels, or wishing the government would crack down on those protesters, or being part of the constabulary doing the cracking. Many of us here this morning have protested against wars in Vietnam and Iraq, against nuclear warships, against racism in South Africa and at home, against policies that entrench poverty, and many other things. We are a church that walks its faith with placards. There's always vulnerability in liturgies of protest. You're clumped together with a great variety of people and assumed to think the same about this and every other issue. I've walked, for example, with communists, Freemasons, radical grandmas, ACT Party members, and those in favor of legalizing marijuana. You're also vulnerable because at times there is violence and abuse directed at you. It might be a bystander with a rock or an over-exuberant police officer. These experiences, these liturgies of protest, shape our prayer in ways that is difficult to describe. That mix of passion, solidarity, vulnerability, and potential violence affects you. It's often a time of looking into your own soul and being found by the God who is there. And the frightening thing is that the God we might recognize there is not the God we usually know. I know when I meet someone who has marched with me, who has stood alongside me, has been arrested with me, that I have a certain respect and trust in them. Conversely, when I'm with people, particularly those who aspire to leadership, who have never stood up for any issue, then no matter how talented they are, I find it difficult to give them the same degree of respect and trust. Will they walk their faith when it counts? Will they risk displeasure, abuse, and ill-informed criticism. The Anzac Plowshares trio wrote last week, "At 6 a.m., we cut through three security fences surrounding the domes. These are armed with razor wire, infrared motion sensors, and a high-voltage electrified fence. Once inside, we used sickles to cut one of the two 30-meter white domes, built a shrine, and knelt in prayer to remember the people killed by U.S. military activity. Today, let us give thanks for them. Let us pray for them, but above all, let us pray for all victims of war, including our own damaged souls."